Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored by the Arthur and Armstrong Charitable Trust for Lesbians.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Quilted Bananas radio show this morning. I'm Karen and co-presenting with me this morning is...
Adrian. Morning.
Good morning. So we're here with you until 11 on the Quilted Bananas show. So thank you for getting up and listening to us this morning. We've got a random show for you today. That's the only way I can explain it. Any other thoughts on that, Adrian?
It sounded pretty random to me when we were talking about it. So
yeah, we've just brought together a selection of great music, but again, not necessarily connected, and interesting things to chat about, but again, not necessarily connected. So you can dip in and out or stick with us all morning, whichever works for you. We're going to carry on with another song for now, and then we'll tell you a bit more after that what we've got coming up in the show. So sit back and enjoy Arnie DeFranco.
Between you and your ambition, I am a poster girl with no poster. I am 32 flavors and then some, and I'm beyond your peripheral vision. So you might want to turn your head, cause someday you are gonna get hungry and eat most of the words you just said. Both my parents taught me about goodwill, and I have done well by their names. Just the kindness I lavished on strangers is more than I can explain. Still there's many who turned out their porch lights just so I would think they were not home, and hid in the dark of their windows till I passed and left them alone. Also your dome, cause everyone harbors a secret hatred for the prettiest girl in the room. And God help you if you are a phoenix and you dare to rise up from the ash. A thousand eyes will smolder with jealousy while you are just flying back. I am 32 flavors and then some, and I'm beyond your peripheral vision. So you might want to turn your head, cause someday you might find you are starving and eating all of the words that you say.
You enjoyed that bit of Arnie there. Adrian, you look like you were.
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed that. I didn't know you were going to play Arnie this morning, Karen.
That was my little treat for you.
Yeah, thanks. Arnie and I go way back to my teenage years. We're just talking here in the studio about having maybe a whole Arnie day sometime.
We could definitely do an Arnie show.
Yeah.
I mean, interesting. I don't know her that well. And I mean, I obviously know who she is and I know some of her music, but I know that back in the 90s, I had friends who were huge, huge fans and would just be listening to her all the time and just thought she was amazing. And for some reason, it just kind of passed me by. I was kind of into other music, I guess, and doing my own thing. But so I'm I'd be quite keen to learn more about her. And what is it about her that's hooked so many people in?
Well, and she got me right when I was kind of coming of age and coming out, and it was like the perfect time to be discovering Ani, and I've never let go.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, when I was choosing that song or the songs for the show last night, and I was listening to that one, and I did think if I had been discovering her back in the 90s, yeah, I would have been... very, very hooked in. Like, there's something about the music and the lyrics that's definitely kind of like, oh yeah, this is saying something to me.
Yeah, exactly. And she's really political and was never afraid to say things that other people were afraid to say in her songs. And so, anyway,
awesome.
Yeah, we can save that for a future show.
We'll do an Ani show. Okay, you heard it here first. So you are listening to the Quilted Banana Show on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we're sponsored by the Arthur and Armstrong Trust. Done my bit there.
Yay!
In this morning's show, now one of the things we were, when we were thinking about what to do on the show this morning, I stumbled on realising that in the States, it is LGBT History Month. So I know that it's in a different month here and a different month in other countries. But in America at the moment, it's LGBT History Month, and found a website that just kind of caught my attention, where each day they are profiling a different, I guess what they're describing as legend in the LGBT community. Mm. So each day they kind of, give you more information about particular people. And there'll be, I'm sure, you know, lots of our listeners will know many, many people on the list. But I just picked a couple that I didn't know very well. And maybe that is my shame, because I'm sure lots of people will know the two women that I'm going to talk a bit about this morning. But just, they caught my attention and were just kind of interested to find out more about them. So we're just going to have a little chat about, first of all, the first person that I picked from the list was Gladys Bentley, the blues singer. Do either of you know Gladys Bentley? I'm saying either, sorry, because I haven't introduced you to our techie this morning.
Hello.
So we've got Debs doing our tech for us this morning. Gladys Bentley.
I'm ashamed to say I don't know Gladys Bentley either.
But I know that many of our listeners will, and will be saying, what have you been doing with your time? But anyway, so this is me kind of discovering Gladys Bentley and kind of just learning a bit more about her. And so I'm going to just talk a little bit about her and kind of read out a bit of her profile, and then we'll listen to a little bit of her music. So Gladys Bentley was born on August 12th in 1907 and died in January 1960. And I think she was only about 52 when she died. She was an American blues singer, pianist and entertainer during the Harlem Renaissance. Her career skyrocketed when she appeared at Harry Hansberry's Clam House in New York in the 1920s as a black lesbian cross-dressing performer. She headlined in the early 1930s at Harlem's Umbagi Club, where she was backed up by a chorus line of drag queens. She dressed in men's clothes, including a signature tuxedo and top hat, played piano and sang her own raunchy lyrics to popular tunes of the day in a deep growling voice while flirting with women in the audience. On the decline of the Harlem speakeasies with the repeal of Prohibition, she relocated to Southern California, where she was billed as America's greatest sepia piano player and the brown bomber of sophisticated songs. She was frequently harassed for wearing men's clothes. She tried to continue her musical career, but did not achieve as much success as she had in the past. Bentley was openly lesbian early in her career, but during the MacArthur era, she started wearing dresses and married, claiming she had been cured by taking female hormones. So in terms of her early life, Bentley was born in August the 12th, 1907 in Philadelphia, the daughter of George Bentley, an American, and his wife Mary Mote, a Trinidadian. In Bentley's Ebony article, she wrote about the trouble in the home as she was growing up and the relationship between her and her mother. She was the eldest of four children in a low-income family and always felt unwanted or rejected because her mother desperately wanted her to have been a boy. When they told my mother she'd given birth to a girl, she refused to touch me. She wouldn't even nurse me, and my grandmother had to raise me for the first 6 months of my life on a bottle before they could persuade my mother to take care of her own baby. She believed that growing up feeling rejected shaped her behaviours. She never wanted to touch a man, hated her brothers, wore boys' clothes, and had a crush on her female teachers in elementary school. In an interview with Ebony magazine, Bentley stated that it seems I was born different, at least I always thought I was. From an early age, Bentley defined gender normative behaviours and femininity, defied gender normative behaviours. She was larger in size and preferred to wear her brother's suits instead of dresses or blouses. As a result of her lack of gender conformity, she was teased by her classmates and often ostracised by her family and peers. Bentley recalls dreaming and being infatuated with her primary school female teachers, but did not understand those feelings until later in life. Bentley's behaviour was seen as abnormal and unladylike, which led to her family sending her to a doctor's to fix Bentley's desires. Later, psychiatrists would coin Bentley's non-heteronormative behaviour as extreme social maladjustment due to her inability to feel comfortable and her family's inability to accept her as she was. Bentley ran away from home at 16 to begin her life in Harlem. So it's pretty... Wow. I know. And so I was just like... just fascinated that, again, I know many listeners will be very aware of Gladys Bentley, but I wasn't. And then to kind of just see that and be thinking about, you know, conversations that happened today and what's happening. And for that to be happening in the 20s, 30s and kind of, yeah.
That's amazing. She does sound like a legend.
Yeah.
Well, as you were describing the... what the shows were like, what her concerts and performances were like, I was thinking, oh, well, wouldn't that be great to go to a show like that today? And then to think that that was in the 20s and the 30s is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, how hard to be going up on stage and doing that, and possibly in the moment on the stage, it's, you know, kind of okay and working, but outside of that, probably, well, she would have been receiving huge amounts of abuse and pushback and, you know, really, really nasty. So, but, you know, yet still carrying on mostly. We'll tell you a bit more about her after we've played one of her songs. So we've got a couple of her songs today to play today. So the first song is, I've actually forgotten the name of the, it's...
Wild Geese Blues.
Wild Geese Blues.
Ain't wild geese in the morning, wild geese when the sun goes down. Ain't no wild geese in the morning, wild geese when the sun goes down. Hey, I'm full of food and water, calling all the geese in town. Weeping willows swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Weeping willows swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Three nickels from my quarter, left me with a lonely night. Heard that lonesome music just about the break of day. Heard that lonesome music just about the break of day. Wash my feet in molasses, trying to keep bad luck away. Feel my window open just to air these lungs of mine. And I threw my window open just to air these lungs of mine. Groundhog saw his shadow 6 more weeks of winter time. Hot coal in my cellar, only got 2 shovels more. Hot coal in my cellar, only got 2 shovels more. And get no more credit from butcher or the grocery store. Our geese makes it colder every time they scream out loud. Our geese makes it colder every every time they scream out loud. Hey, the sun draws up the water, but it leaks back through the cloud.
Oh, and that was Gladys Bentley with Wild Geese Blues. I haven't got it written down in front of me. I keep thinking I get the wrong title. Did you enjoy that in the studio?
Oh, that was fabulous. I especially loved the trumpet. I don't even, what were we calling it?
I think they call it scatting, I think. And that is where you use your voice to make a kind of a trumpet sound. Mm. And so she was apparently really famous for being able to do that really well.
Cool.
So, yeah.
The other thing we were just kind of commenting on or just reflecting on was that we're almost in the 20s again. It's 2020s, but that's not far off. So, just referring to the 20s and 30s there, we're talking about the 1920s and 1930s, which is almost 100 years ago.
That is frightening.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just tell you a little bit more about her, and then we'll play one more song from Gladys Bentley this morning. So in 1931, Bentley actually had a public marriage to a white woman during a civil ceremony in New Jersey, but her identity remains unknown. Then she relocated to Los Angeles, where she married J.T. Gibson, who died in 1952, the same year in which she married Charles Roberts, who was a cook in Los Angeles, and they were married in California and went on honeymoon in Mexico. they had a five-month-long courtship before their divorce, and Roberts denies ever having married her. Bentley died of pneumonia unexpectedly in her home in Los Angeles in 1960, age 52. It was initially believed that she had Asian flu, but later turned into pneumonia. At the time of her death, she'd been more involved in the church and had just been ordained as a minister, despite never getting her official paperwork. In terms of her legacy, aside from her musical talent and success, Bentley is a significant and an inspiring figure in the LGBT community and for African Americans. She was a prominent figure during the Harlem Renaissance. She was revolutionary in her masculinity, differing from the traditional male impersonators or drag king in the popular theatre. Gladys Bentley did not try to pass as a man, nor did she playfully try to deceive her audience in believing that she was biologically male. Instead, she exerted a black female masculinity that troubled the distinction between black and white and masculine and feminine. Fiction characters based on Bentley appeared in Carl Van Vechten's novels Parties, Clement Woods' novels Deep River, and Blair Niles' novel Strange Brother. In 2019, the New York Times newspaper began a series called Overlooked, where the editorial staff is attempting to correct a long-standing bias in reporting by republishing obituaries from historic minorities and women. Bentley's was one of the featured obituaries in Overlooked. Yes, I think it's because actually later she does go on to marry, and I read somewhere else that she, you know, did marry men a few times, you know, in an attempt to kind of deny her.
Yeah, I wonder if she felt that kind of pressure to do that, but to first marry a woman publicly is really amazing to think about.
Yeah.
So, oh, I just got shivers when you were reading some of that.
Yeah, no, so I'm really interested in kind of learning more about her. So we'll have another track from her. So this next track is, I don't know much about blues music. I don't know if every song has to have blues on the end of it. I know it doesn't, but I do happen to have picked two songs that are called Something Blues. So this song, this track is Worried Blues.
I'll make you miserable. Treat us women like you do. I'll make you miserable. Treat us women like you do. I don't want no man that I got to give my money to. Throw me a letter, never nothing but a no. Throw me a letter, give her nothing but a no. Rode right back and told him, man, I ain't no billy goat. Give my man a on down. Ooh, la, 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 la. Next thing I'm gonna give him 6 feet in the cold, cold ground. Da, la, la, da, la, da, la, da. You can never tell what an old, old man can do. Ooh, la, da, 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 da. Never tell what an old, old man can do. Ooh, la, da, 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 da. Keep your eyes open, girl, cause he'll put that thing on you. Da, la, da, 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 da. Cause you ain't even got a papa. Ain't no single that you can be at. Ooh, la, da, 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 da. Cause you ain't even got a papa. Ain't no single that you can't be at. Da, 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 da. If I put this thing on you, baby, gonna be just too doggone there. Money hard for you women to keep a real good man nowadays. Ooh, la, la, da, da, da. Money hard for you women to keep a real good man nowadays. And these little young chippy gals got so many doggone different ways. Ain't no one did more for you than the good Lord ever thought. Ooh, la, la, da, da. Did more for you than the good Lord ever done. Da, la, da, 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 da. Put clothes on your back. You know darn well you wasn't born right now. Da, 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 da.
Oh, well, we hope you enjoyed us doing a little profile there on Gladys Bentley. I'm sure there's masses more that we could learn about her and talk about, and maybe we could do that in another show. We've got lots more to cram in before 11 o'clock, so we're going to have another track now, and then in the next half an hour we will be looking at things that are going on around Wellington. Hopefully, if we've got time, we will be profiling someone else from that History Month list, and we've got some updates. Oh yeah, sorry, a few other updates on things that are happening in and around Wellington. So for now though, we're going to have a track that you'll all be familiar with, Tori Amos, Cornflake Girl.
Never was a cornflake girl. Thought that was a good solution, hanging with the raisin girls. She's gone to the other side, giving us a yo-yo. Things are getting kind of gross, and I go at sleepy time. This is not really this. This is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life it is. With my hands I could be here. There must have paid her a nice price. She's putting on a string be love. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life. Never was a cornflake girl.
Tori Amos with Conflate Girls. So hope you enjoyed that this morning. You're listening to the Quilted Bananas radio show on Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we're sponsored by the Arthur and Armstrong Trust. Okay, we're kind of focusing on, I've realised we're really focusing on it being October, with the October History Month in the States. And
we're also going to have a little look back now at things, significant events that have occurred in New Zealand during the month of October for the Rainbow community. So I'm going to hand you over to Adrian to kind of do a bit of a, give us a bit of an update on this.
Well, so Watkins, one of our local legends, who runs pridenz.com, is it?
I think so, yep.
Has been doing features, kind of lessons from the past, features in Express magazine. So I'm just going to read out the October 2019 feature. And it says, Gareth Watkins looks back at the events that shaped our Rainbow community. And it, there's a description of different events that have happened in the month of October throughout history for our community. It looks like they're New Zealand events, so I'll just read some of them out. So 14th October in 1888, writer Catherine Mansfield was born in Wellington. Mansfield had well-documented relationships with both men and women, one being Edith Kathleen Bendall. For a time, Mansfield wrote letters nightly in violet ink to Bendall, inviting her to stay alone with her at the family batch in Days Bay. She wrote in her personal journal, "Last night I spent in her arms, and tonight I hate her," which being interpreted means that I adore her, that I cannot lie in my bed and not feel the magic of her body. On Mansfield's birthday in 1922, and only a few months before her death from tuberculosis, she famously wrote, "Risk, risk anything. Care no more for the opinions of others, for those voices. Do the hardest thing on earth for you. Act for yourself. Face the truth." So that's our little bit about Catherine Mansfield.
I love in the line, "Now I hate her, which means I adore her."
Very relatable. It's 6th October 1893. The laws around homosexual activity became more explicit when the Crimes Against Morality provisions in the newly enacted Criminal Code Act. Any sexual activity between males was outlawed. Even if the act was consensual, it was still classified as indecent assault. Penalties included life imprisonment, flogging, whipping, and hard labor. Flogging involved getting struck with a cat of nine tails, which was made up of multiple pieces of cord. It was designed to lacerate the skin and cause intense pain.
Oh, wow.
Whew, that one's pretty heavy. Fast forward to 1963, so that on the 5th of October, writer James Courage, that's a great name, died in England. He was born in Canterbury, New Zealand, and he only made one trip back here in the mid-1930s. According to his niece, Virginia Clegg, he came out to his mother and father during that visit, at which point all hell broke loose and he never set foot in this country again. Author Christopher Burke credits Courage with writing New Zealand's first gay short story called Guest at the Wedding, and this country's first gay novel, A Way of Love. The novel tells the story of a young man's relationship with an older man. It was banned in New Zealand in the early 1960s on the grounds of indecency and because it lacked redeeming literary merit.
Ooh.
That was a quote.
Yeah, I know. I think that was your opinion.
Exactly. In 1976, 23rd to the 24th of October, the 5th National Gay Liberation Conference was held in Wellington. The first conference occurred in 1972, following the formation of Gay Liberation Front groups in Auckland, Christchurch, and Wellington. The 1976 conference was promoted with the message, "Repeal all anti-homosexual laws, ban discrimination against gays." Writer Tim Burks commented at the time, "The political climate has never been better for a strong gay movement in New Zealand." One of the most significant aspects of the conference was that it set the scene for the formation of the National Gay Rights Coalition the following year. By 1979, the coalition had 32 member groups and over 70,000 affiliated members. And we know where that ended up going,
yeah,
the homosexual law reform. So now in coming into the 2000s, in 2003, on the 15th of October, media reported that Waikato policeman Bruce Lyon had been appointed as the first rainbow diversity liaison officer within the police. The announcement was met with criticism by some, including Radio Pacific talkback host Mark Bennett. Bennett questioned why there shouldn't be also be a liaison officer appointed for necrophiliacs, sadomasochists, and homophobes. The broadcast would later become the subject of a complaint in the Broadcasting Standards Authority. While the complaint was not upheld, the BSA said Bennett's comments were close to the border of what amounts to hate speech.
God.
Yeah. And the last one we've got here is from 2018, on the 10th of October. New Zealand's second rainbow pedestrian crossing was launched in Wellington. So this was a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
The first crossing being in Queenstown. The crossing's launch was timed to mark the birthday of the late Carmen Rupe. The Transport Authority had earlier opposed the rainbow crossing, saying that there was a high risk of confusion and a dazzling and distracting effect.
What, of the crossing? I didn't realise that.
I didn't realise that either. And the police said that the crossing posed risks of death and serious injury for road users.
I think we're talking about 2018.
However, the crossing went ahead, painted in part by Mayor Justin Lester, now former mayor.
Former
I know,
mayor.
Might be too soon for those of us who are supporters. So the crossing went ahead, painted in part by Justin Lester, who told media that he was glad not to be arrested in the process. Wellington City Council was quick to point out that the Rainbow Crossing was not an official zebra crossing, saying it was simply an art installation placed on the street.
Oh my God. We were just getting into the party of it all. I didn't realise that there was that much controversy around it.
Me either. Wow. Had our heads
and
in the sand.
And actually, that reminder that, Justin Lister has been a massive supporter of the rainbow community over the last few, well, I'm sure for many years, but over the last few years. So it will be interesting to see
what happens under the new
impact
mayor.
That has to, have a change of mayor. I know the rainbow community will be pretty disappointed at that.
Yeah, exactly. We're pretty sad to see him go. But the latest being that there were only 62 votes in between.
I know.
So maybe there will be a recount, but that might be wishful thinking.
That would change anything. If there was a recount and then it went in his favour, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I'm liking this this history that Gareth Watkins is
doing
for us on, where is it? Sorry, Express Magazine, isn't it?
Yes.
Is writing that each month, so look out for that. We'll have another track after that, we'll probably do some what's going on around Wellington, because there's lots coming up over the next few weeks. So, again, I'm on the wrong side of the desk to see which track I picked earlier on, but I think it's the Sundays. We're having a track by the Sundays.
You see how people look down, they're on the inside. Here's where the story ends. People I see, weary of me, showing my good side. Like you see. Did you run for all I love you for?
Oh, and that was the Sundays. On a Sunday.
Come on, that like was what a you
good,
did there.
Good radio pun there. Here's where the story ends. So we've got about 15 minutes left before our 1 hour slot for the week is done. But of course, the Quilted Bananas will be back next Sunday between 10 and 11. So we thought we'd just do a bit of a roundup of things that are going on, because we're getting back into, I noticed actually a couple of weeks ago that people are coming to life again, and that lots of things are starting to get arranged, and you know, now that we're coming into spring and the weather's starting to get better and the more light in the days, lots of events are now starting to happen again. So there is plenty going on. So in particular next weekend, which is Labour weekend, of course it is now, I think this might be the third year of it, I think, but a Rainbow in the Village Paikakariki Pride Festival 2019. So they're saying it's coming bigger and better and wilder than ever. Most of the events, or all of the events, I think, are on Facebook, and you can look at the festival Facebook page to get all of the details. But just as an idea of things that will be happening during that weekend, there is a meet and mingle on Friday the 25th from 6 o'clock at Finn's Hotel. And then on the Saturday, which I guess is probably the main events on the Saturday, always great, or it has been great the past couple of years. I'm sure it will be even bigger and better this year. But the world's shortest, brackets, unofficial Pride Parade. Possibly the Guinness Book of Records haven't been to there to verify that yet. I know.
Yeah.
But the world's shortest Pride Parade will be on Saturday the 26th of October from 2 o'clock. And if you want to get involved in that, you can assemble at Campbell Park. There's going to be a kids' disco on Sunday the 26th from 3 till 6.
Well, that sounds
exciting.
At St.
Peter's Village Hall. That sounds great. Yeah, I'm sure more details on that on their Facebook events. And then on the Saturday night, a Space Oddities dance party from 7 till 10 at the St. Peter's Village Hall. You can buy tickets for that on Eventfinder, and obviously numbers will be limited, so probably get in quick. I haven't heard if they've been sold out already, but go and check that out on Eventfinder. There's a rainbow brunch on Sunday the 27th. It says 10 p.m. here. Yeah. I'm guessing
it's 10 a.m.
Unless... That's quite a big hangover on Sunday to not make it to brunch until 10
p.m.
But and that's,
Monday is the holiday, so...
Yeah, that is true, so maybe it's... so I'm guessing 10 a.m. And there's a number of places where you can go to be part of the Rainbow Brunch. The Perch and Parrot, Beach Road Deli and Finn's Hotel. Or pop into all three. There's an exclusive book launch as well on the Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Village Hall, the launch of The Swimmers, a debut novel by local queer writer Kate Torrens, plus readings from the Kapiti Women's Writing Group and an open mic. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
A Paikakariki Pride Queer Quiz Night on the Sunday at the Bowling Club. Chasing the Rainbow Bike Ride on the Monday from 10 o'clock, leaving from the Surf Club. Taking the Plunge on Monday between 12 and 1. That's got to be a cold swimming event, presumably. And then there is a family picnic on the Monday at 1 o'clock in Campbell Park.
This is an awesome lineup of events.
Yeah.
I'm loving what you're doing there, Paikakariki Pride. It is getting bigger and better and wilder.
Yeah, that sounds great.
As the tagline says.
So get over to Paikakariki next weekend. A couple of other little updates as well from, we get our updates from wellingtonlesbian.net.nz because they're updated by our very own Ellen, who was part of our collective. There's a survey, I think this is a survey that's happening. So the title is, What Did You Do For Fun? Participants are currently being sought for a new online survey that asks people who were living as lesbian, gay, bisexual or queer women for some or all of the 80s in New Zealand to reflect on their social lives and the lesbian, gay, bisexual and queer women's culture they participated in during that decade. The research is being conducted by Dr. Nadia Gush as part of a larger project exploring the social life of lesbian, gay, bisexual and queer women during the 1980s. Questions relate to the things you did for fun, the people you felt comfortable hanging out with, and the way lesbians, bisexual, gays and queer women dressed in the most fashionable of decades. You can go to the survey website for more information and do the online questionnaire.
Oh,
that'd be a great thing.
That does sound great.
I'm really interested to see the results of that.
Me too.
And
neither of us having lived here in New Zealand during the 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, I know what was going on in the UK at that time and what the fashions were. And,
yeah.
And yeah, that's interesting because even though in some ways that doesn't seem that long ago, obviously it is quite a long time ago. But
ooh.
I do.
Well, it's a bit risky.
Oh, maybe it is. Some people will believe that's a long time ago.
Yes.
I do not.
I was about to say.
That's only the 80s.
Definitely wasn't out yet in the 80s. I was still.
Yeah, but it was. Yeah, even though I think it doesn't seem that long ago, a really, really different culture there. And just a mention of, we talk about being sponsored by the fabulous Armstrong and Arthur Charitable Trust for Lesbians. They are inviting applications at the moment for funding assistance grants and for projects and activities that will benefit all or part of the lesbian communities in Wellington. So have a look at that if you are interested in trying to get some support for a social event or some of your work. They support us here at Quilted Bananas, and we are very grateful for that. It means that we can be on air every week. Any more what's going on that you're aware of?
Yeah, well, I just want to add in a little plug for Halloween. So for anyone who might not be going to the dance in Paikakariki, which obviously that should be your first choice, but if you happen to be in Wellington and not up the coast, then at Ivy on Saturday night, there's a Halloween party organised by Harley Lux, a local drag queen who was Miss Capital Drag a couple of years ago. Really kind of well known in Wellington for the darker side of drag. And so I'm sure that will prove to be a really fun, dark and awesome Halloween party. So it's called Harleyween.
Oh, see, I like what we've done there.
I know. So I think it's the third year that Harley is hosting Harleyween. So get out to that. And of course, Halloween has had it's always had this special place, I think, for queer people. Just the whole, you know, it's that, I guess, especially in Canada, where I'm from, and in North America, you don't really have that many dress-up parties throughout the year other than Halloween. So it felt like that one time of year that you could come out and just kind of, subvert norms and just do whatever, dress however you wanted. It didn't have to necessarily be gory. So I love Halloween, and I'm pretty excited to.
No, and I've signed up to your love of Halloween because I mean, it makes sense now you're describing it, but I didn't know the kind of queer connection with it or kind of how big it could be in some queer communities and why. And
So you could just do whatever you want and kind of things that you might want to do that you weren't able to do other days of the year. Yeah. So,
which is true. And next week when I put my costume together, it will be doing something that I would not do on most days of the year.
I can't wait to see that.
Okay, we're just going to change the order that we're doing things in because we've only got 5 minutes left. So I'm just letting Deb, our techie, know that the song that we lined up we'll use as our song to go out on, and we'll just go straight into Adrian's got another update article for us to have a little think about. So we've just, for the last 5 minutes, we'll focus on this.
Oh, do you want me to do that now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. Because otherwise, if we play the track, okay, we won't have time for this.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Rachel Green of the New Zealand Social Lesbian Group. I hope I got that right. I'm just going to try to. On behalf of the New Zealand Lesbians Social Group, which is a Facebook group, and they represent, they've got 1,500 members. So, you know, recently there was the controversy around the Feminism 2020 event that Massey University had announced that they were hosting, organized by Speak Up for Women. And there was quite a bit of backlash to that. And they've since basically told Speak Up for Women that they can't have the event at their venue.
The event,
So just today in... I think it's the Sunday Star Times, but on the Stuff website, there's an opinion piece that Rachel Green has written on behalf of the New Zealand Lesbian Social Group that I just wanted to read out because I'm really impressed with how she's written it and how the group has come together to stand up against this. So I'll just have a read. Yeah. I'll just read it out. Go I'm part of a large social group for lesbians in New Zealand. This week we learned that Massey University in Wellington withdrew as a venue for Feminism 2020. If you'd listened to the press put out by Speak Up for Women New Zealand, who were organizing the event, you might expect that we, as a group of lesbian feminists, would be pretty upset by this cancellation. You'd be wrong. Speak Up for Women claim to speak on behalf of women, feminists, and frequently lesbians. They haven't asked us what we think about the things they say on our account. They've even blocked a number of us from talking to them at all, showing an astonishingly low tolerance for women who don't immediately fall in line with their ideology and who dare to demonstrate independent thought. While claiming to be a feminist group, Speak Up for Women oddly haven't mentioned anything about the major issues affecting Kiwi women today, in particular our high rates of domestic violence and sexual assaults, low wages, and the high cost of housing. Feminist groups are currently out there doing the mahi to help support people living with these issues, but to Speak Up for Women, the growing number of Kiwi women dealing with the choice of living in a violent home or out on the streets isn't the real issue. Apparently the real issue is trans women. Trans women existing and calling themselves women is the real problem, according to these feminists, in quotations, and it's almost the only thing they talk about. The recent Counting Ourselves survey, which asked about the experience of transgender and non-binary people in New Zealand, tells us that 32% reported someone had sex with them against their will since the age of 13, and 47% had experienced someone attempting to have sex with them against their will. Two-thirds had experienced discrimination, 71% experienced high or very high psychological distress, and more than half had thought about suicide. This is clearly a vulnerable group who needs our support, yet Speak Up for Women would have us believe they're practically running the world. Speak Up for Women, their supporters, and the speakers they've invited to present at their Feminism 2020 event all spin a good conspiracy theory, and many will happily tell you about the well-funded trans lobby somehow linked with Big Pharma and George Soros, which has plans to steal everyone's womanhood before Christmas. They'll tell you about that the trans men are an attack on lesbians and somehow homophobic, and that we don't want trans women in lesbian spaces. They'll repeat this despite the vast majority of lesbians being completely mystified by their assertions.
Quilted Bananas. The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored by the Arthur and Armstrong Charitable Trust for Lesbians.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding the Access Internet Radio Project.